Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Don't sweat the technique. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, two in the books, one to go, final hour of the show. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. It is Brian McDonald with me sitting in for Jeremy Branham, who is on vacation this week. He'll be back Monday. Barry Laminack filling in with me and BMAC tomorrow, Friday, as we get you ready for the weekend. Always our good friend Austin Rodriguez, B-Rod, behind the glass, hanging in there with us and doing layman's work throughout the program. With an hour left in the show, Brian, and we've been talking a lot about this Astros team, but one of the guys that's kind of been quietly unnoticed, and maybe it's a good thing, has been Ryan Pressly. Ryan Pressly, part of the back end of the bullpen that was so highly touted coming into the season, that has had more than their share of shortcomings, starting to kind of start and figure it out again. With the exception of Josh Hader, but Presley's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think Presley, look, he was bad at the start of the year, no doubt about it. The criticism he got early on in April was absolutely warranted. But I think people have kind of, maybe it's just as easy or as lazy as, well, his name sounds like Stressley, so they just hang on to it for longer because the name recognizes or the name rhymes with something that reminds them of him performing poorly. But I think people have held on to this idea that Ryan Pressly is having a bad season for far too long. When you look just like over the recent short term, his last nine outings, that is, or since June 11th, 9 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, no runs, 7 Ks. So, I mean, since June 11th, he's been absolutely shut down.
Now, but there's also been the eye test when he has a scoreless inning, but some of those balls are barreled up pretty well. They just happen to be hit at people that people don't factor in as well.
But I think you would agree, though, that's just kind of the luck, the natural luck and ebb and flow of a baseball season. Even the most dominant relief pitchers, other than maybe Mariano Rivera, because no one touched him, other than the Diamondbacks in the World Series. But like all you know, elite. I almost said wide receivers. Almost all elite relievers will eventually get barreled up from time to time. It spreads out over the course of the season. As long as the overall numbers look good to me, I kind of watch it. And going even further, because if you're holding on to the idea that Ryan Pressly is having a bad season, I would give you this number. If you go back to April 6th when he allowed 4 earned runs against Texas. Obviously, horrific. He got one out. He gave up 4 earned runs. It was when the Astros were, you know, one of the lowest parts of the season, if not the lowest part of the season. Since that 4-run game on April 6th, his ERA for the season, 2.53. Okay. If we were looking at Ryan Pressly's baseball reference page and it said his ERA was 2.53, would anyone say he's having a bad season? Because that's what his ERA has been since April 6th.
I think
April
a lot of people
6th.
Would have a hard time believing that, too.
I mean, it's... April 6th, we're talking May, June, July, 3 months. Three months, his ERA has been 2.53. He's not having a bad season. He had a bad, first week. And then that's what the numbers – I mean, we could disagree with the numbers, but that's what the numbers tell me.
I mean, he hasn't been where he has been previously in his Astros career. I mean, and because remember, we were talking about, well, does being quote-unquote demoted have something to do with this? Does not being in as high a leverage have something to do with this? And there was a stretch, like you said, during that really bad start to the season where he was as bad as this team was, and he was not getting the job done. But now you look at it as we look at it currently, Hader has not been great, and Hader continues to give up the long ball, and Hader continues to do non-Josh Hader things at the end of games. We caught heat from other people from the Chronicle and people that drink the orange Kool-Aid when we suggested, is there a time when you were going to demote Presley and promote, so to speak, Abreu for the back end of the bullpen? Are we going to see a situation, or are you encouraging a situation, or would you consider a situation where Hader should be moved down and Presley should be moved up if Presley's been that good?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, obviously, Hader's had a problem with the solo home runs, but I think overall, ever since those first couple of weeks of the season, Hader's been nearly as advertised as well, so I wouldn't quite make that switch. I just think that, like, I see this a lot when in fantasy sports, when we seem to make, and you'll see this sometimes in MVP conversations too, where people sometimes form their opinions on what happens in the early part of the season, when they're basically whenever their attention they have it has your attention the most, the beginning of the season and the end of the season. In Ryan Presley, because his bad performance happened that first week of the season, especially since the Astros were also losing, I think we're hanging on to that longer than we would if Ryan Presley had a 1 week, you know, rough stretch in the middle of June, right? If the Astros were obviously winning, that would help as well. But if he just had a random, you know, bad week in the middle of June or a random bad week in the middle of July, what would we call that? Oh, well, you know, it's baseball. It's a cold spell. You know, like a hitter will go through a funk, a pitcher will go through a funk. We would dismiss it. We would look at the back of the baseball card, say, Ryan Presley, we know, is a good pitcher. This is just a 1 week hiccup and he's fine. But because it happened at the beginning of the season and the Astros were also, you know, just horrible at the moment, it kind of formed an opinion in our mind that Ryan Presley is a little bit older. He's slipped. He's dropped. But when you look at the numbers, again, since that Rangers game on April 6th when he gave up four earned runs, ERA the rest of the season, 2.53.
It's crazy, though, B-Mac, because we've talked about this previously, and I had mentioned we finally are now syncing up the offense with the pitching for the most part, right? Because we were talking about starting pitching and the middle of the bullpen as it relates to when the pitching's been good, the hitting has been less than, and vice versa. Now it's kind of leveling off, with the exception of the back of the bullpen is better. It still hasn't lived up to billing at the start of the season when we were going to have these six-inning games, and if you got into the final three, it was all but over and lights out. Do we see a scenario where at a certain point they figure it out too and everything's clicking at the same time? Because it seems like we haven't seen that all season long, whether you make any more switches or not. And I think rightfully so, you demoted Montero. He does not belong in your top four back of the bullpen, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys. But I think 7, 8, 9 still needs to be under review because we haven't gotten all three guys at the same time to do what they're supposed to do.
I'm willing to play it by ear, sure, going down the stretch. I think my preference would be to stick with, you know, Josh Hader as your ninth inning guy, as your quote-unquote traditional closer, but then play it, you know, whether it be matchups, whether it be feeling, whether it be, you know, who's had the appropriate amount of rest, who needs to go, who needs to sit. Play seventh and eighth with Brian Abreu and Ryan Presley without, like, a traditional set role. I mean, you have the conversation with the guys. If you think it's going to mess with their psyche not to have the set role, then maybe you adjust that. But I would hope that Joe Espada would kind of just use his best judgment, or you, as Dusty, you would say about Dusty, you know, trust Paul's belly and live in the moment as far as who he thinks is the right guy for the seventh and eighth in that particular game. But I would leave Josh Hader in the ninth. But look, as we get into September and you ask the question, can everything come together at once? I think you see that with the teams that eventually do go on to win the World Series. I mean, the Nationals were kind of messed in the first half of 2019 when they won the World Series. Same thing for the Braves in 2021. And they found their rhythm over the second half of the season. Hopefully, you know, what Astros fans are hopefully the season turns to is that turmoil at the beginning of the season, all the crap that we went through in April and most of May, is something as these guys get healthy, as the 7, 8, 9 guys find their rhythm, as Bregman snaps out of it, that could be what the Astros are, them finally finding the rhythm in the second half of the season, which is so important going into the playoffs.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, because it's nice to see that he's found a rhythm. Hader bothers me. And I'll be honest, Jeremy and I go back and forth on this, and as good as Abreu was...
Would you make a move then?
I would not make the move now, because I don't want to. I don't need to rock the boat right now. I think they're going too well right now that I don't think you need... Drastic times create drastic measures.
Sure.
And I think that's what we saw previously. Right now, I'm not willing to rock the boat because of how well they're playing. But at a certain point, I'd like to see, if I'm not going to make a move, that they all do find a way to be their best selves. I've always been very a harsh critic of Abreu. I had to take a step back because of how good he was in the playoffs last year. But this year, again, whether he ends up giving up a run or not, and lately he has given up some runs, I don't like the fact that he creates his own traffic in a lot of cases. And in playoff games, that can bite you.
What? So if in a scenario where you're possibly moving Hader to either an eighth inning guy, or maybe he's your, not, he'd be more than a lefty specialist, but maybe he's someone you employ when, you know, if you're facing the Yankees and Soto's coming up, something like that. In a scenario where you're moving Hader, like, what would be the other part of that for you? I mean, you've obviously expressed concerns about Brian Abreu. We've spent the, you know, most of the segment talking about Ryan Pressly and some of the, I know you talked about him getting barreled up, the eye test, even if the numbers are good. Like, what would be your next part of that move? Would Ryan Pressly return to the ninth inning for you, or is it Brian Abreu?
If I had to make a move?
Yeah, if you're keeping, I know you don't want to make the move right now.
I just think, honestly, to me, and I know the previous results of last year's playoffs are there, that Abreu did his job. But I just feel like, of the two scenarios, a guy that I trust can control his stuff, can control his emotions, of the two, I would probably go Pressly in the ninth before I would go Abreu.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I'm not rocking the boat right now, but it's interesting to think about if there is a scenario where, and maybe that's not even, I mean, I guess technically it would be viewed as a demotion if you move Josh Hader out of the ninth inning role. But if you change him to basically the most important pitcher coming out of the bullpen, whether that happens to be against the heart of the order coming up in the eighth inning, or against a tough lefty like Soto in the seventh, or as your closer, then what that does to the rest of your bullpen.
Yeah,
that'll be the question Joe Spada has to answer.
Yeah, and I think, because that's why I don't think anybody needs to change or go.
No, I wouldn't make the change right now.
I'm not making changes. I don't think you need to get rid of one of those guys. It just would be nice if that would be the final piece that falls into place, where they get back to
the final piece that needs to fall into place is the health and stability of the starting rotation.
Right,
I'm more worried about that than I am 7-8-9.
And it'll be interesting to see what Blas does tonight, because unlike early in the season, when whoever they plug and played in that position got blown up and blown to smithereens and looked terrible, even Blas last time looked good enough to where the starting pitching is keeping you afloat by just doing their jobs. I'm more worried about the fact that if you can find stability at the most crucial time in a game with those last three guys, I think that really kind of puts you over the top for the playoff push and being where you need to be.
Yeah, because then it would turn into what we thought it was going to be at the start of the season,
right?
Like, where you get a guy to the sixth inning or a starting pitcher to the sixth inning and the game's over.
Expectations, if that's what everybody saw.
Well, it's what you paid for.
Right,
I mean, you're paying Josh Hader, you know, record money. You're paying Ryan Pressly really good money. So it's certainly what you paid for. So, yeah, it would completely change the dynamic of an Astros game, especially considering, like what we just said, like this, the stability and the health of the starting rotation, where if you have questions about who's the fourth guy, who's the fifth guy, but then you have a 7-8-9 that makes it a six-inning game, that completely changes what you need on the open market, going out and getting guys or filling those fourth and fifth spots.
No doubt. All right, we're going to continue to roll on again. We seem to be emotionally and passionately into discussions today, to where we keep them going maybe a little longer than B-Rod would like, but we'll find a way to catch up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a whole lot more. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Jeremy's out, B-Mac's in, as we continue to roll on and wrap up the final hour of the program on a Thursday. Hope you all are staying dry. Hope you all have gotten your power back like I think I did during the show
today.
Yeah,
you did, and Boston Rodriguez got his power back. I'm still holding out. No power.
Karma's a bit. I mean,
what did I do?
I mean, I just said pray for B-Mac.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say. That's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, but we've been obviously very Astros-centric because of the fact they continue to win. They continue to be the team that everybody wants to talk about because they're right there now again in the thick of things. But we need to get some Texans topics too.
Yeah, so I've been. I think this has been coming from everywhere, but what spurred my thought today for this topic, I was listening to a AFC South preview on this fantasy football podcast I listened to, and I've heard this talk from not just there, but from many different places, and I frankly don't understand it. But this idea, not so much that the Texans are going to take a step back and so as far as the quality of their team, but that they are not even really the favorite to win the AFC South, because people have this really high belief on the Indianapolis Colts. They have this really high belief in the Jacksonville Jaguars, and even in the idea that the Titans, with, you know, adding Calvin Ridley and adding Tony Pollard, are going to take the step forward. And I just don't see it. Like, I mean, starting with the Colts, I mean, obviously, Shane Steichen's a great offensive mind. No, I have no problem giving him his flowers. Anthony Richardson, I think when he's healthy, and he obviously was barely healthy last year, I think could be a dynamic quarterback. Jonathan Taylor's a great running back. Michael Pittman's a great wide receiver. Josh Downs, the rookie wide receiver out of North Carolina last year, was pretty good as well. So I see it there. But, I mean, one, I don't think you can bank on health for Anthony Richardson. He never finished the full game last year.
Right, why would you?
And when you look at their schedule, I mean, so much is made about the Texans' schedule. When you look at when the Colts went on their run second half of last year, the quarterbacks they beat, to me, raises lots of red flags if what they did was for real. I mean, the quarterbacks they're beating over the second half of the season were Bryce Young, Mac Jones, Baker Mayfield, Will Levis, Aiden O'Connell, Jake Browning, Mitchell Trubisky, and Taylor Heineke.
That's exactly. When they were winning, because they lost the last game of the season as well.
Obviously. Yeah, well, yeah, they lost the last game of the season to TJ Stroud. He's not on this list. Right. But the quarterbacks they're beating, again, Bryce Young, Mac Jones, Baker, Aiden O'Connell, Jake Browning, Mitchell Trubisky, Taylor Heineke. Why are we saying that's for real and pumping the Colts up when all we saw, I know they didn't have their starting quarterback, but all we did was see them beat bottom feeder quarterbacks. See,
that's why when I look at this, and I know that this is the time of year, especially for football pundits, to try and just create dialogue that can catch some attention. I look at this and I go, I don't know how, regardless of how the season plays out, what the schedules are and everything else, I don't know, just based on the off season and last season, how you can't have the Texans as the odds-on favorite to win this division. Because as you mentioned, when you look at everything that Indianapolis that you're talking about, it's more question marks than answers for the most part. We've always known that both sides of the ball has had a lot of talent, but they've always been short on the quarterback, and they were grasping at straws and veterans over and over, and Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers.
And happened to be a veteran quarterback, saved their bacon last year when Minshew came in and did what he did. He's not coming through that door. He's not the answer,
right? Yeah,
he's
in Las Vegas.
And so the question mark is Richardson going to stay healthy? And even if he stays healthy, is he going to be a every down, every week quarterback that can be where you need him to be to take you in competition for this division? Because he's not a great passer. He's a better runner. Steichen's offense helps him a lot. But he's still, at critical times, going to have to throw the football and be accurate with it and make the right throws. And I don't know that he can. So when you look at both the teams that are being rumored as potential competition for the Texans or favored above them, if depending on who you read, you look at Jacksonville the same way. Yeah, they finally got the right coach. Yes, they have a quarterback, but how good of a quarterback? He got the money of a big-time franchise quarterback, but to me, he's always underachieved as a quarterback. You spent all the money a year ago to try and get, you overpaid in my estimation, to get receivers to try and make him better, but did you really do what you needed to do? Because at the end of the year, they're sitting there in a back and forth turnover fest, a tale of two halves against the Chargers, but going, what are both of these teams really? And did Jacksonville come close to doing what they need to do? Are they better now from a year ago? And even if they are, did they plug enough holes to be as good as what the Texans did to not only plug holes, but take that next step? Because the Texans improved in so many different positions.
Yeah, let's go to Jacksonville. Because, I mean, the question really to me with Indy is can Anthony Richardson stay healthy? I think you check the box off. Do they have talented skill players? Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs. Sure. We'll see what happens.
The line is older. The line that everybody with Nelson and everybody else that thought that line was so good for so long, they just didn't have the right quarterback. But now, how good is that line? And from a defensive perspective, you had standout defensive players that have now moved on to where you're going, is that defense as good as it was to be where you need to be to compete for this division?
Yeah, exactly. I think the bottom line here with the Colts is the Colts have more holes than people are seemingly willing to admit. Like, rather, look, we saw what the tape was for Anthony Richardson at Florida. It was not a high level percentage wise passer. It wasn't a guy that was completing a lot of passes. Now, I get the excitement from a fantasy perspective, because when he's healthy, and that's obviously the other question mark, he's a fantastic runner. But, and give credit to Shane Steichen, I think he will find an offense and mold it to Anthony Richardson's strengths. But I think there's a lot of question marks there with Indy. And to Jacksonville, I mean, you mentioned some of the things they lost and Trevor Lawrence. Like, well, just compare Trevor Lawrence to C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, in a topic we might get to tomorrow, was named the second most clutch quarterback in the league. Like, what would you say about Trevor Lawrence in the same situation? I mean, they were awful. I mean, obviously the second half against the Chargers in that playoff game, but he was the whole reason they had to come back, because he had four turnovers half. So Trevor Lawrence, I mean, we give him a pass on the rookie season because of Urban Meyer, but he had a pretty good second season. Last year he took a step back again. So, I mean, is he just an above average quarterback but not special? I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility. I think Christian Kirk is a pretty good wide receiver, but he's not as good as Nico Collins. You lose Calvin Ridley, who I have my questions about. Replace him with Gabe Davis. Even though I have questions about Calvin Ridley, Gabe Davis is certainly a step down. And I like Travis Etienne as a running back, but they don't really have anything behind him.
I don't think Etienne – I was thinking about this as you were saying that. I like Etienne as a weapon, but do I like him as an every down?
Not an every down back.
I just don't think he's that guy. I don't think he's durable enough to be that guy.
Right, and that's the other part of it. Like, what they have behind him, the rookie they drafted last year, Tank Bigsby, was awful. Like, they don't even feel comfortable putting him on the field because of how much he was fumbling. So I just see a whole lot of question marks there with Jacksonville. And then obviously finally with Tennessee, I mean, I guess it comes down to what you believe in Will Levis. They certainly gave him more weapons, but Tony Pollard, you add him, but he didn't have a great season last year in Dallas. Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, that would be a fantastic receiving core in 2019, but these guys are all in their 30s now. And the Titans offensive line, which was ranked, I think, 32nd last year by PFF, is only up to like 29th or 30th this year. So you remember how bad that offensive line was in the Texans game where they were just rad-dolling? That hasn't gotten any better. Okay, you added wide receivers, but they're in their 30s. And you added a running back, and Tony Pollard was super inefficient last year. So maybe Will Levis has the long ball talent, but I didn't see that they equipped him with enough to really see him make that jump.
Yeah, I just look at Tennessee as a work in progress. I mean, now I think that they're grasping at straws, because to your point, I think, you know, they got Jamal Adams today. You know, what's Jamal Adams? Jamal Adams isn't coming out of LSU this year and being drafted.
No, he's past his prime.
He's a guy that got paid way too much, way too soon, and underachieved, and then kind of believed the hype and acted like a diva too much, to where he's been bounced out of different situations in locker rooms. You look at DeAndre Hopkins, he's way past his prime. You mentioned all the receivers, past their prime. You got a quarterback that's not even close to his prime, that you don't know what he can be yet, but now he's going to try and figure it out. You traded away A.J. Brown, who was a guy that you should have built around, but instead you got rid of your head coach, who was a staple, your receiver, who was a staple. The guy you drafted to replace him has been anything but a replacement. You now have a new coaching staff, a new general manager. You're trying to figure things out, and I think that is going to be just a complete bleep show for the course of another season or two while they try and figure out which direction they're truly going, and do they have the right quarterback?
Yeah, the Titans, absolute bleep show. Not quite the same comparison, because you know their ownership obviously doesn't have the background in the sport that Jeff Bagwell does, but it does kind of feel Jeff Bagwell GM-ish, because they went out and, you know, Mike Vrabel embarrassed them by losing the Oilers game to the Texans. And so that's, from what you hear, a large reason why he got fired, even though he's been the best coach they had since what? I mean, since Bum, arguably, I would put him as a better
coach. I'm not going to put him in Jeff Fisher's category.
I would put him as a better coach than Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, and Jeff Fisher, you know, had some success, but at the same time,
but he was Mr. 8-8 also. Yeah. So I mean, you fire that guy because he loses one game when you had the dumb Oilers gimmick, and then you give Calvin Ridley what everyone considers a ridiculous amount of money, because Calvin Ridley, like two of his biggest monster games, when most of his season was filled with really low lows with a few highs, were happened to be against Tennessee. So Tennessee saw it up close, like, hey, Calvin Ridley's great. They ignored the rest of his game log and paid him a ridiculous amount of money.
That's why I think when you look at this
terrible ownership.
Look at the difference between the Texans and Tennessee in the fact that both have young quarterbacks, but the Texans did it the right way. They've sprinkled in some veterans, but for the most part, you've got Tank, who's young. You've got Nico, who's young. Dalton Schultz obviously has still plenty left in the tank, but you've given him young weapons to grow with. Instead now, with Levis's situation, you're going to have a DeAndre Hopkins who's going to let him know every time he does something wrong and he doesn't do things the right way. He's going to be, you know, he's going to let his presence be known. You look at a guy like Pollard, who's probably past his years. If you were going to replace...
He's still youngish, but yeah, he wasn't efficient last year coming off the injury.
He hasn't been efficient. We know the running back lifespan is short. You just don't know what else you're going to get from him. If you're moving on from Derrick Henry, it would have been nice to have a young running back or a younger running back to replace him with instead of a guy that's been dinged up that you don't know what you're going to get, right? Same thing with Boyd. Same thing with the guys they're bringing in. On both sides of the football, you now have a general manager that's supposed to be more big picture, developed talent type guy, but all they keep doing is kind of getting backside of their career veterans when you've got a young quarterback that you're supposed to be building around.
Yeah, one of the younger guys they have is the running back that was the fantasy darling for about 30 seconds after Derrick Henry left until they signed Tony Pollard. But Tajay Spears, he looked pretty good as a receiving back last year, but he's got an arthritic knee, and you know he's a ticking time bomb with how well he could play. It just feels like, I mean, like you comparing like how why it went right for the Texans to why it went wrong for the Titans, it feels like the Titans – or the Texans have now, and this is, feels funny to say with how much we've criticized Kyle McNair in the past, Kyle McNair has gotten out of the way of Nick Caserio, it seems like, and let him do his job, whereas the Titans ownership has kind of chased the back of the jersey name. Like, let's go get Calvin Ridley because I've heard of him, and he played well against us. Let's go get DeAndre Hopkins because, you know, they're chasing the past.
Back of the football card, B-Mac, exactly. You're not getting DeAndre
exactly.
from the
they're
Texans.
Chasing the big names of the past like Jeff Bagwell did with Jose Abreu.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's why I think it's ludicrous. We'll see how the division plays out. Look, anything can happen. We know what the schedule is, but I just believe that the roster was done the right way and improved greatly with the Texans, whereas there's too many holes that they didn't plug the right way or plug at all when you're talking about Indy, Jacksonville, and then later down the notch a ways, I think you find Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I just – it feels like maybe sometimes, and this is not just football fans, but sports fans in general, I think sometimes we get bored with predicting the same thing as last year. I think that's a tendency amongst us as sports fans. So we just look for why something different. So we could call it before it happens. So we could be the smart guy. Yeah, exactly. And so I think people are looking for it. And I do think the Colts are going to be good. I think they will be a winning team that I could see making the playoffs if Anthony Richardson is healthy. I just think people are pumping up the Jaguars and Titans way too far and completely dismissing the red flags of the Colts. Not only the health of Anthony Richardson, but okay, yeah, they were in the playoff race until the final week when they had the Week 18 game against the Texans. But they got there again on the backs of beating really crappy quarterbacks. So let's you know slow down a little bit on promoting Indianapolis to that next level.
No doubt about it. All right, we've got a little less than a half hour to go in the show. Plenty more to get to, including the car wreck of the day at the end. As you know, we like to wrap it up. If you got your car wreck of the day nominations, get them to us. You can text them to us 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up on YouTube. You can hit us up on Twitch, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Final 20-some minutes of the show comes up next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, we're back on the Killer Bees.
Oh, we're back, yes.
Oh,
yes.
And I was asking you guys to give us nominations for the car wreck of the day.
Slight typo there.
I'm not sure anybody beats what just happened that I just discovered during the break.
No, that's an error on me. I tried to promote my own Twitter and a tweet for Glenn Davis and put something very different on there.
For your own handle?
Yeah, that was because
it was supposed to be you.
I know. Look, Glenn Davis is already on the line. I'm typing it fast. I'm trying. It's the dangers of multitasking. I didn't preview my tweet that I sent out for the station, and the tweet is now deleted. You know, whatever. You can come at me if you want for deleting it, but I'm not leaving it up there. But yeah, apparently I accidentally, instead of my own handle, put up something very different. If you miss it, it's the internet. It never dies. There's probably screen caps of it already.
Yeah, because others caught it. Yeah, well, yeah, no, before yeah. Anybody here did.
And that's what brought it to our attention. Yeah. But yeah. Oops. Oops.
Oopsie and then some. But again, if you want to get in your nominations for car wreck of the day, and nothing's topping that, by the way.
No, I'm probably, I think I'm winning car wreck of the day.
3776. You can text us or hit us up on social media. Just get BMAX.
Hey, I've got no power, man. Leave me alone.
Twitter. Get BMAX Twitter handle right if you do, and don't use the one that he is.
I'm still sleeping in my car right now. Give me a break.
There's a dude with quite a pose.
You went to it?
That's posing. No, I just see it underneath the tweet, and I'm going, who's that? What is that? And then I realized I'm not even reading what the actual.
No. It's you know, I don't know. I didn't even open the Twitter account. I just saw that once you alerted me to the mistake, I just opened up the tweet. It's like, oh, that is not my account. I am going to delete this. So anyway, Glenn Davis was with us. You can hear on the podcast page. But one of the tweets promoting it, no longer there because I made a typo.
Oops.
Yep. Oops, indeed.
All right. So without further ado.
Can I blame Centerpoint for it?
You can blame Centerpoint for anything.
Okay. I blame Centerpoint for this.
Because honestly.
Frankly, it's an outrage that they would hack into our Twitter account and change the handle I was trying to type in just to draw distraction away from the fact that they haven't brought our power back online other than you two.
The only problem is that Centerpoint.
It's Centerpoint's fault.
Isn't going to. Blame or isn't going to you claim something for themselves and give you their
no hold on, Joel. This conspiracy goes deeper. They know the power of ESPN Radio 97.5 FM. They know that if they cause and hack into the Twitter account and have us all laughing about, oh my God, look what Twitter account they accidentally promoted, that by doing so, we stop talking about how badly Centerpoint is done.
You're being outdone by a Whataburger app. You're supposed to be the foremost energy provider for the state of Texas, the largest state in the union, and you're getting trumped by a burger chain.
Well, one
and their locations that are open.
Well, one, being trumped by Whataburger is not an insult because Whataburger is elite. So
obviously, I'm not saying anything bad against Whataburger. I'm saying you're supposed to be giving people the most pertinent information that anybody could seek after a hurricane, and instead you got to go to a burger chain to figure out what's where electricity is.
Would you rather trust Whataburger? Like if we could like wife swap the CEOs of the companies?
Well, I ain't doing that.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, would you trust the Whataburger CEO to get things done, or the Centerpoint Energy or Centerpoint Energy person to get one done? I'm just thinking Whataburger.
Considering the fact that after one misplayed interview where Channel 11 got the communications director for Centerpoint cornered to answer some tough questions and she didn't have any answers, and then the next interview done was by the executive vice president of Centerpoint, I don't trust any of upper management for Centerpoint at all. Look, I think that's where the big thing is, and especially dealing with what you and I have dealt with in our Facebook pages and our neighborhood group chats. The biggest thing that people need to realize is, please be thankful and appreciative of these linemen that are out there doing their best.
This is not on them.
This has nothing to do with those guys on the literal front lines.
Right.
This has everything to do with the fact that you knew this thing was coming. Even if you didn't know it was going to hit Houston or not, and it happened late, you needed to be prepared. And then you needed to learn from past missteps of natural disasters in this area to figure out what to do, what not to do. And you obviously have not done that.
Yeah, no, my grandfather was a lineman. Those guys do an incredible job, very tough job, do it thanklessly, because, I mean, how often do you even notice them? So, I mean, look, it's not their fault that Centerpoint is lying about the numbers, that possibly, as the talk was today, your politicians aren't filing the paperwork on time. None of these things that are causing the delays are the fault of the guys actually going out there and doing the work.
No, it's just that someone, and this is where the line in the sand gets blurred and nothing gets done at the end of the day. Now we're so focused on the missteps yet again of Centerpoint. We've done this in the cold. We've done this with the grid. We've done this now with the heat. And we've done this now with a hurricane. And yet, at the end of the day, it's like kind of like having Glenn on and talking about Berhalter. At the end of the day, what needs to happen is what finally happened with the men's national team too late. And some heads need to roll and some things need to be done because some lessons haven't been learned. And when the same mistakes keep happening again, that tells you shame on us, shame on them for not doing something to change what has been the average course for what the company does. And they don't care.
Yeah. Well, they don't have to care because they have a monopoly.
Center Pointless is like the number one.
Oh, I know that
most
graffiti.
Retweeted picture of the underpass.
Oh, so good.
Down there off of I-10. But everybody's doing it for a reason.
The Be Someone t-shirt has got, I think, going to get replaced for the number one t-shirt in Houston for the
t-shirt. You want to get the graffiti guy to really entertain the city? instead of be someone, which everybody seems to think they can do better by painting over it.
Oh, I know.
Put center pointless up there for a while.
Yeah, I think 100% approval rating on
center
pointless. Until
we get all 2 million plus people's power back, center pointless should be on that damn bridge.
Yeah, and I won't even trust center point when they tell us that everyone's power has been restored because the numbers keep fluctuating.
Yeah,
no. And like, as you pointed out earlier, they're now claiming with the number of people they restored plus the number of people still missing to have more people affected than they actually
had
at the beginning.
Their fuzzy math says that they restored the power of 1,140,000 people, but then they also said that there were a million or less people that were still affected. So they actually restored more people than actually were affected in the first place.
Right.
Good job yet again, Centerpoint. What are we doing? You obviously are going to make the next segment give feedback a run for his money.
Yeah, I'm probably going to win car record today, but I thankfully have Centerpoint. This is the one time I'm thankful for Centerpoint. They might be hated enough to keep me from
they
winning car record
champs,
today,
which doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't happen. They might be champs every day until the power's back on.
It is quite possible. All right, we're going to get to that next. Car wreck of the day is about all we got left to do, so we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to come back with those car wreck nominations, see if anybody can knock BMAC off the leader in the clubhouse status that he has just created for himself. If you want to bet on that, you can't do it at mybookie.ag. But if you want to bet on sports, you can bet on it with mybookie.ag because just about any sport, every sport, and what sport you're watching on TV can be bet upon at mybookie.ag. And along the way, they're going to take care of you in so many different ways. Mybookie.ag takes care of you by making sure that when you sign up for the first time, they give you a sign-up bonus. Extra money in your account. That means more games you can bet on and more chances for you to win. And all you got to do is remember our promo code BET975. If you're an existing customer and you want to re-up your account, put more money in it, use that same code and always use it, and you'll find the same kind of results. You'll get more bonuses in your account instantly, more chances for you can win, more games you can bet on because you've got that extra cash. It's phenomenal. They take care of you every step of the way. So much so that they have live dealers now standing by. When there's games going on, you can play casino games as well. When there's not games going on and you will feel the urge to do some casino games, live dealers standing by. And mybookie.ag has all the games, the poker, the blackjack, you name it, they've got it. And they take care of you that way too. In-game betting, not a problem. A live community when you go on their website where you can chat and interact as you're placing your wagers and talking about games that you've bet on. It's all part of the fun. Check them out today. Go to mybookie.ag and use that promo code I always give you, which is bet975. As I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He is in it right now.
I've got competition for car record today.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, you think
not only center point, but we have another another something that I just saw on the old interwebs.
I'm
that,
sure you
I think
were
is
diligently
a,
looking for something that could at least maybe save your bacon.
That may or may not be true. Sure. Yes.
You hear the sweet sounds of the Jake Bloss music tonight as he will return to the mound. Normally, you guys ask me, I will ask you, what do you expect to get tonight?
Oh, okay. So the predicted stat line, I would say, okay, weak offense. I don't think he's going to go 7-2 like Fromber and Ronel Blanco have done over the last 2 days. I'm going to go 5 innings, 2 earned runs from Jake Bloss.
I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take that, especially against Miami. I would think that, not that I expect the outburst
of last night. I don't think they're going to push him. But I think he gives you a pretty good, technically a quality start.
I think he's going to get offensive support as well. But I'm very curious on this start because of the fact that he is now going to be kind of dependent on more than just a spot starter, a guy that can fill a starter.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm a little leery of the fact that injury just doesn't go away that quickly to me. Like, I noticed it a couple innings before it actually became noticeable.
You think they put him out there before he's ready?
I don't know that they're going to put him out before he's ready, but you know he's young and he really wants to make an impression and he wants to stay where he's at. I just worry that I just don't know. I want to see his durability, and I want to make sure that that's behind him. And then I still got to see how he's going to perform on the big league level. It's not the best of teams, But he's got to perform because every win is still important. You're still chasing.
Yeah, and he hopefully could be the guy that keeps you from having the Sean Dubin bullpen games.
No,
so there's a lot of hope and anticipation on the start tonight.
It's like save the pen. You need Sarah McLaughlin behind you to say
the arms of the angels going
in the arms of an angel or the arm of Jake Bloss.
For just $1 a day, you too can help the Astros starting
for
rotation.
Just one extra inning a start, you too can keep us
for the cost of a cup of coffee
abusing our bullpen beyond belief. All right, so let's hope that I was gonna say 4 2/3 and 3.
I'll definitely take my side of that.
Yeah, your side better. Either side, I think, is acceptable based on the fact that you haven't really had to use the pen the last 2 days either.
Amy, but you're going up against a pitcher with a 5.48 ERA. Hopefully it shouldn't matter.
But you also know the Ranger series is coming up, so you do want to kind of preserve your pen if you can get again. So hopefully he does go deeper into the game. All right, without further ado, before we get out of here, let's do it, Austin. We know some of the nominees already. Let's get to the car wreck.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Hey, back! Car wreck of the day. That didn't go out right. Austin, okay, good. Yeah, thank you, Austin, for making sure you're doing the little thing. You are really searching right
now. Looking for other car wrecks.
So, car wreck of the day, early on and often, we know that Centerpoint, who was the
Centerpoint certainly nominee
yesterday, stop pushing it because you're really trying to lobby for something else.
We know it's the winner, come on. Let's just crown it and move on.
Centerpoint has a chance to be the
two-time National
champ.
Up next, Centerpoint, your car wreck of the day.
It is quite possible, but Brian McDonald is trying his best to make sure that we don't get back to this.
Yeah.
Brian McDonald sent out a tweet today.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's gone, Joel.
Brian McDonald sent out a tweet to promote the fact that the internet's forever.
You forget that.
No, the internet's not forever. I don't see it. So it's gone.
Austin, did you see it?
I don't see it. It's gone.
Did you see it, Austin?
Not at the time, but I have the computer up.
Did you see it?
No, it's gone. It's gone. See, it's gone.
Okay.
See?
Brian McDonald,
all good. Nothing
when
happened.
Promoting on Twitter the fact that Glenn Davis would be joining
us. I did
not.
I deleted it. It's gone.
Instead of putting his own people, his own Twitter handle, not someone like me and forgetting the K in Pac-Man Joel.
I think you scared your dog.
Or other things. Boomer's fine. His own Twitter handle, instead of at sacked by BMAC, ended up being
a furry?
Fat sacked. Is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't great. Mistakes were made. Not great, Bob.
And noticed?
But again, Centerpoint Energy is your car wreck of the day.
No, like, all right,
ESPN Nationals up next for Joel Blake.
No, we're not out of time yet. What else
we're out of time.
Didn't you say you I'm had behind something the wheel else right that now, was going to rival
no,
it?
No, play the music, Austin. We're done.
Okay.
Yeah, the other nominee is, not to get things political because both of the candidates suck and they're too old to run for president, but our current president, Joe Biden, today in a summit or something like that for Ukraine, introduced the president of Ukraine. Joel, who is the president of Ukraine? Not to put you on the spot.
Vladimir Zelensky.
Well, that's not what Joe Biden said. Joe Biden said Vladimir Putin.
Oh, no.
Not only is it the wrong name, but it's a summit for Ukraine. And Putin, obviously, to state the obvious, is the guy that's freaking invading Ukraine.
Oh, my goodness.
And one of these,
you may almost have saved the day.
One of these idiots is going to be president.
Now, the bigger question would be, does the current president of the United States know his own Twitter handle, and could he put it on Twitter?
I don't think he does. I think there's an equal chance that Joe Biden might have accidentally tweeted out frisky whatever the hell that I tweeted
so
out.
So that means you guys have something in common.
It does, yeah. Only I'm 40. He's like 81.
Both of you like or think you have frisky
So
biscuits.
Joe Biden, car wreck of the day. I thank you for making it official.
Austin, I'd like you to verify the inevitable, but who wins today?
I mean, it's your own Twitter. Come on.
Oh, damn it. Austin, the betrayal.
The winner.
The betrayal.
Who can't find? Oh, we finally God. Found something that could actually be damn worse it. Than Centerpoint. BMAC wins our car wreck of the day.
Yeah, it was deserved. I'll admit it now. It's already over.
Austin
I'll
Rodriguez admit it doing the hard work today. We thank you, my friend, as always, for being B-Rod. B-Mac, thank you for the last 2 days filling in for Jeremy Branham. Barry Laminack's going to fill in for Jeremy tomorrow. B-Mac will be back behind the glass. Austin needs some time off after dealing with this bleep show. We're going to thank you for your time and energy in the Hive and hope you come back again tomorrow, 3 to 6. National program coming up next on ESPN 92.5 and 97.5. Have a great night, everybody. We'll
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.